Amen. Thank you, ladies. What a blessing that is. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and I want us to go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3, and I am praying and asking God to lead in these ways about the messages on every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And this morning, I want to begin a series. And of course, next Sunday will be Mother's Day, and I will be speaking on the subject of mothers. Not because I understand what it's like to be a mother, but I want to share with you from what the Bible teaches us. But I want to begin a series on what is real worship. What does it mean to worship God? And can I ask you a question that I want you to think about, not that you answer, but why did we come to church today? Why did we come? You say, well, Pastor, we came because God has commanded us as His people to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And that is true. We are to come because God has commanded us to do so. But why do we come to church? Well, may I say to you that the whole reason we are to come to the house of God is for the worship of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is worship. That means that everything we do should honor and glorify the Lord. The way we take up the offering should honor and glorify the Lord. The way that we sit in church, the way that we come prepared to listen to the preaching of God's Word. In fact, if we're going to talk about worship, there are two types of worship. There is public worship, and that is the worship that we're involved in here. But there is private worship. You do not have to have a church building, per se, to worship God. We are to worship God privately. And may I say to you that our private worship alone with God enables us to worship publicly together as a church. As we come to the house of God, we are to come being prepared, ready to hear the preaching of God's Word. That's why I encourage our families on Saturday night, make it a point, go to bed at a good time. Make sure the children have all the clothes laid out. You know what it's like in the mornings trying to find that extra sock that you just cannot seem to find. And the children know it's somewhere, but it's not to be found. What are we doing? We're getting ready to worship God. We're making preparation for that. I remember when my wife and I got married, there was a lot of preparation that went involved for that one special day. There was things that were done, decisions that were made. We set aside time, and may I say to you, when we come to the house of the Lord, it should be that we come to worship our God. Now, what does all that mean? Well, I want us to begin at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Exodus, where we find where God first talks about worship. We're going to talk a little bit about a man by the name of Moses. Moses knew what it was to worship God. In fact, the Bible tells us that Moses was the man that spoke with God face to face. In fact, we know that Moses' face shone because he had been in the presence of the Lord. And here is Moses. Let me tell you about him. He's a man that he thinks pretty much his life is over. I mean, you know the story. He was obviously a young boy. A young baby, that there was a law that all the young children should die at that time. And of course, we know that his mother hid him in an ark in the bulrushes among the water there. And Pharaoh's daughter found him. And of course, God was involved in all of this. He was orchestrating it all. And we know that Pharaoh grew up, or Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. What an amazing story that is. And we understand all of that, but when Moses was 40 years of age, he knew that God had called him to deliver the children of Israel from that Egyptian bondage. And you know the story. He killed an Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And then Pharaoh was out to get him. And Moses fled to the backside of a desert and spent another 40 years there on the backside of the desert until one day he saw a burning bush. And the bush was not consumed. And that's when God dealt with him. And God called him to go back to Egypt. But Moses knew something about the worship of God. I want to say this to you before I read. A.W. Tozer, who I think As one of my favorite authors said this, God made us to worship Him. And when we're not worshiping God, we're stars without light, sun without heat, clouds without water, and birds without song. Do you know that every one of us, God has made us to worship Him, and when we are not worshiping the Lord, we are not functioning properly as God's people. Today, are you worshiping the Lord? Well, I want to preach to you this morning on this subject. Please bow your head. Please bow your head. Now, what does that have to do? Now, before we have a time of prayer, I will say, let's bow our heads in prayer. And we bow our heads in reverence to a holy God who sees us and who hears our prayer. But brethren, if we're going to worship God, we must bow our heads. Please bow your head. Let's come, if you would please, to Exodus chapter 3, and let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said," God is speaking, he says, "Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel was, Come up, come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said," and I want you to notice this, "Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now let's take our Bibles and go to Exodus chapter number 4, and let's begin in verse number 29. Now here is God calling forth his servant. He takes an ordinary man and does extraordinary things with his life. But can I remind you that Moses has said, when God spoke to him, he said, Here am I. Do you know, to be used of God, that is the very first place we must come to. God, here am I. Use me. Lord, I yield myself to you. Brethren, the greatest responsibility you and I have is to surrender our will to the will of an almighty God. Not my will, but thine to be done. And that's what Moses did. And Moses, you can imagine. Now, we know our God by his name. He has given us his name now. And of course, we know God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Moses said, when I go to the children of Israel to tell them, what do I say to them? And God said, I am that I am. That means God has no past, and he has always been. He is the God of the past, present, and future all together. I am that I am. And notice, God told him, Moses, I'm going to send you. And he said, who am I, Lord? Moses said, God, don't you remember that they ran me out of Egypt? Don't you remember that Pharaoh tried to kill me because of what I had done? And God said to him, certainly, I will be with thee. You know what he was saying? My presence shall be with you. You see, what is Moses doing right now? He is worshiping God. He is in the presence of the Almighty God. He is speaking to God, and God is speaking to him. He is worshiping God. He is understanding who God is. He is seeing the almightiness of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of our God. The greatest thing for each and every one of us today is that we learn day by day to worship God. Do you know that I believe, now I want you to listen to me very closely, I believe that most Christians really do not worship God. I really believe that. Now, let me say this to you. We live in a society today that is all about the worship of ourselves, taking care of me, my wants, my will, my opinion, my desires, my thoughts. And it is so hard today to get to the place to where we are only concerned about the glory of God in our lives. And so often in the church, we miss that it is all about the worship of our God. Now we come to chapter 4 and look in verse number 29. I'll show this to you. The Bible says this. Chapter number 4, and look what the Bible says in verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. They've come. They're speaking to them now. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then, notice this, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Now think of this just for a moment. Today, please, please bow your head. Brethren, there is no worship unless there is the bowing of the head. The ideal of bowing of the head is humbling ourselves before God. It is a submission to God. It is a yielding to God. It is a surrendering of our rights and our will. It is yielding to God. It is worship to the Lord. Here is Moses and Aaron. They came to the children of Israel, and they spoke to them and said, God has spoken to us, and we are coming, and God is going to deliver you out of this Egyptian bondage. I mean, they're crying unto God. And now we see they believed, and by the way, I believe that's where it begins, the belief of God, the belief of his word, believing in him. They believed them, and the Bible says they bowed their heads and worshiped. What a beautiful picture that is of what God wants for every child of God here today. But would it not be a wonderful thing that every Sunday and every Wednesday, when we come to the house of the Lord, that we come for the sole purpose of worshiping God? And there is no worship until we bow our head. Can I say this to you? Every one of us here, and let me just be very honest, including myself, we love to take care of ourselves. We're selfish. We are. You say, Pastor, that's pretty hard talk on a Sunday morning here. I mean, that's kind of rough to say to us. Well, you know why it's rough? Because we know it's the truth. We understand that it's the truth. We were born in this world selfish, self-centered people. We want our will and our way to be done. But you cannot worship God unless we bow our head. We must die to ourselves, surrender our rights to a holy God, yield to God, and say yes to him in every area of our life. You see, they bowed their heads. Brethren, we are saved to worship God. That's why we're saved. All that Christ has done in the past and all that he is doing now leads to this one end for you and me to worship God. Now, what does it mean to worship God? The very idea of worshiping God is that we're brought into the presence of the Lord. Moses, he is in the presence of a holy God. He is talking to God. God is talking to him. And by the way, Moses sees God. Now, I understand today, in the generation which we live in this New Testament church age, God does not speak to us audibly as God spoke to Moses. God does not show himself to us visibly as God did, and we do not have that manifestation. But brethren, we have the Word of God today. And the Word of God is God's complete revelation to you and me. And brethren, can I tell you this? There have been some wonderful church services that I've been a part of where I knew that I entered into that service in a spirit of worship. A spirit of worship. By the way, we worship him in the spirit of truth, do we not? We worship him in that spirit. The Bible says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Brethren, today, do we really worship God? I wonder today, do your children know what it is to worship God? Do we as a family, do we worship God? Are we making preparation on Saturday to come to the house of God for the sole purpose? Hey, today is a big day, kids. Today is really big because we're going into the house of the Lord. We're going to sing songs together and we are going to hear the preaching of God's word for one purpose, and that is to lift up Jesus Christ and him alone. It's worship. Now look, sometimes we have the idea that worship is boring. We have the idea that worship is sitting somewhere, you know, with our hands folded and our eyes closed, and that's worship. Brethren, worship is when we come into the presence of a holy God. It is when we are yielding to him. But worship begins when we bow the head. We bow our heads to God. Now, I want to give you some very simple thoughts this morning. I pray that God would help us. I want you to notice, number one, as we worship the Lord, number one, we rest in the presence of God. Do you know that the only rest for the child of God is in the presence of the Lord? We rest in his presence. May I say this to you? Worship brings us into the presence of the Lord. When we worship God, and we can worship God on Sunday, but there are many Christians that come to church and never worship God. And some people come to the reading of the Bible and they spend time in prayer, but they really do not worship God. Do we worship him? That means, do we come into his presence, yielding ourselves to him, bowing our heads in prayer, confessing our sin, desiring him to be glorified, acknowledging that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, acknowledging his holiness and his righteousness? Do we come into that presence? Look here, I remember when I got saved at the age of 17 and I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Church was different for me after that. Because you know what church was about? It was about worshiping God. I remember that after I got saved, I remember before I would sing in church. And my mom and dad always made me have the song book, you know. They always made me keep it up like that. And I'd have it down this way. My dad, you know, would say, son, get the song book up, you know. And well, I just didn't want to do that. You know why? Yeah, I didn't care about the worship of the Lord. I was lost. But I remember after I got saved and I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I remember getting the song book and, boy, those words meant something to me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Boy, those words meant something to me. And I can remember the first service after I got saved, singing the songs. And boy, tears welled up in my eyes. You know why? Because, boy, that song was something to me. That song was for me to worship God with that song. That song was for me to praise my Heavenly Father for giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And I look forward to the song service. You know why? Because it was a place for me to worship God in song. But I remember being in the church service. And boy, I remember sitting there. And before I got saved, I remember kept looking at my watch thinking, oh man, you know, got to get home and got to get to the creek and there's some fish to catch and there's some cats to take care of. And I mean, there's all kinds of things, you know. I'd sit there and think about all that. And I'd think, why, this preacher's going so long. But after I got saved and came to know Jesus Christ, boy, the service went by too fast for me. I remember being there and the preacher was preaching and God was speaking. My spirit was bearing witness with his spirit and the spirit of God who now indwelt me because I'm a child of God. Well, I was enjoying that. It was the time for me to bow my head and to worship God. Can I tell you what it did? When I worship the Lord, it brings us into the presence of God. Look here. You know what we need today? We need an encounter with God. We need to be in His presence. We need to worship Him, yielding ourselves to Him. And when we're in the presence of a holy God, it changes everything about us. You think of Moses. Moses was a man who knew the presence of the Lord. We rest in the presence of God. I believe that the thing that is missing most among God's people is the worship of God. We've just gotten beyond that. Sometimes church has become nothing but mechanical. And we come, we listen to the preaching, we go home. And there's nothing changed, nothing different about our life. We are not worshiping God. And throughout the week, we might read a few verses here and there. We might spend a few moments in prayer. But brethren, God has made you and me to worship Him. And the worship is not just on Sunday and Wednesday. The worship is every day as we live in the conscious presence of Jesus Christ. We are worshiping Him. May I say this to you? Back in Exodus chapter 4, looking back in verse number 31, because I want to show you this. Do you know that now as they are standing before the people, they are getting ready to go into Pharaoh? Moses and Aaron could have never gone into Pharaoh's court and faced him had they not first worshiped God. And I want you to say that, I want to say this to you. It is impossible for you and me to face the Pharaohs of our life without having first worshiped God in spirit and in truth. Look back in verse 31. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship. Can I tell you what happened? How did they bow their heads in worship? They got the right view of God. They saw God for who He really was. Do you know today many Christians have devalued God? And they have the wrong view of God. They might think of God as some old gentleman in heaven in a rocking chair and not able to cope with the issues of life. Or that God is some mean judge in heaven and He's waiting to knock us down when we sin. Or you know, we have the wrong view of God. Brethren, the most important thing about your life and my life is how do we see God? You say, well, Pastor, how do we see God right? You know something, the only way that we can know God and understand God is through the Word of God. This is God's revelation of Himself to mankind. This shows us what God is like. Through here, I find that He is my everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. I find that He controls all of things. And He is the God who is working all things together for our good. Can I tell you what happens when I get into the Word of God and I bow my head and I worship? I am brought into His presence. And there is no rest like the presence of God. Sometimes we have around our church here, and I know Isaac and Kayla, they're at Crown for the graduation there this weekend. I think it was last Wednesday or maybe last Sunday night, I saw Isaac carrying little Titus, cute little guy. And he was carrying him, and he had fallen asleep on his dad. I do good putting kids to sleep in church, all right? And he was sound asleep. And boy, when I looked at him, his little arms were there. You know what he was doing? Resting. You know why he could rest? Daddy's there. He knows Daddy. He knows his heartbeat. He knows everything about Daddy. He can rest. Why? Because Daddy's going to take care of that little baby. Daddy's not going to let anybody hurt him. And brethren, when you and I come into the presence of a holy God, when we are in His presence, can I tell you what happens to us? We sense His love for us. If you're to the place in life where you think God doesn't like me, God doesn't love me, you're not worshiping Him. Because when you're in His presence, I'm going to tell you what He does to you. He assures you of His love and His full acceptance of you and me. We're accepted in the beloved. And when we get into the worship of God, being in His presence gives us rest. It gives us joy. It gives us peace. Why? Because we're alone with God. We are right with God. And we are fellowshipping with Him. Moses and Aaron are coming. They're standing before the people, soon to stand before Pharaoh. We rest in the presence of God because worship brings us into that presence. Can I tell you what Moses did? Moses walked into the court of Pharaoh with nothing to equip him but the presence of God. When Moses stood before, and by the way, Pharaoh was the most powerful man on earth at that time. There was no one more powerful than Pharaoh. And Moses came, he didn't come with an army. Moses didn't come with a proclamation. He came with nothing but the presence of God. And guess what? Moses had rest. You know something? Because Moses had worshiped God, he recognized God's presence in his life. Go to Exodus chapter 33, and I want to show you something. How important was the presence of God to Moses? It was everything. And by the way, do you know what God did for Moses? God said to him, by the way, Moses had lots of excuses. Moses said, "Who am I?" Moses said, "God, I can't speak." And God said to him, "Moses, certainly I will be with thee." You know what he was saying to Moses? "You need nothing but my presence." That's it. Brethren, I believe this today. When we are worshiping God, we are functioning properly as God would have us to function. But when we are not worshiping God, nothing works right in our life. Now, there's a battle. There's a battle that goes on. Because we like to worship ourselves. We like to take care of ourselves. We want the preeminence. We want to be lifted up. We want to be noticed. We want to be seen. But can I tell you this? When we come for the sole purpose of saying, "I want God to be glorified." Do you remember Jesus Christ when He came to the temple that one day? Somebody, by the way, I do not like to see pictures of Jesus Christ because most of the time the artists get the picture of Jesus wrong, do they not? They paint Him as some effeminate person with long hair, and that's not how Jesus was. I'm going to tell you something. He was a man's man. He came to that temple. He made a whip. And the Bible says He kicked over the tables, and He drove the money changers out. And you say, "Well, I know why." Because they were changing money, and it became some commercialism, something like that. But think of this. You know what He said to them? "My house should be a house of what? Prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves." You know what He was saying? This house is a sacred place. It is a place of worship. And instead, it had turned to what man wanted it to be. The worship of man, what man's thoughts and man's opinions and man's desires. And there's always a battle that goes on in every congregation. And in your life and in my life, we want to sit on the throne. We want to be exalted. We want to be lifted up. That's why worship. Please bow your head. Yield to a holy God. When we do, we see ourselves for what we really are. That's what Moses, "Who am I, God?" Brethren, today, the presence of God is what I need and what you need more than anything else. We need an encounter with God day by day that we know that we are responding to a holy God. Exodus 33, notice what Moses is saying here in verse number 14 of Exodus chapter 33. Notice Exodus chapter 33, we begin in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, God spoke to Moses and said this, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee," what's the next word? Rest. And then Moses spoke back, and he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Can I ask you something? How important is the presence of God? How important is it to worship God? Moses said, "God, if your presence doesn't go with me, then I'm not going. You know what he was saying, God? If I cannot know you, and if I cannot worship you, I'm not going because I cannot make it of myself. How important is it for you and me to worship God every Sunday and every Wednesday, but throughout the week as we read His Word and as we pray and as we... And the Bible says that we are to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. You know what that is? That's worship. You see, brethren, worship is not... I guess categorized into Sunday morning at 10:45, we worship God. No. We are to live in His presence day by day, the conscious presence of Jesus Christ. When we come into His presence, we rest. There's rest there. I believe this, that worshiping God should be a way of life for each and every one of us. And by the way, as a pastor, it is one of my responsibilities to seek to bring you into the worship of the Lord, to preach. And that's why you should be praying, and I am praying, and we come to church anticipating being brought into the presence of God, and we are there to worship Him, to glorify Him. By the way, can I tell you this? When our worship is right, it settles everything. In your marriage, it'll settle all the problems if you're concerned about being in His presence and pleasing God. In our church, it handles all strife and contention and handles all disapprovements and all of that. It handles it all, because if we come to church and we say, all I'm concerned about here in this church is that Jesus Christ is lifted up and glorified, and that we bow our heads in worship and submission to a holy God, that's all that matters to me. Brother, that settles everything. You see, bow our heads. We rest in the presence of God. Number two, I want you to notice this. Not only do we rest in His presence, but number two, we recognize the difference between holy and profane worship. Now take your Bibles, go to Ezekiel chapter 22. I believe that every one of us know of churches that once used to preach the Word of God in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. There are churches where Christ was glorified and the Word of God was given and souls were saved and lives were changed, but some of those same churches don't even use the Bible anymore. And the type of music that they use is fleshly and worldly, but they call it worship. In fact, a big thing today is to have a worship leader. It's kind of strange to me. Is it that someone, that's his responsibility of worship? No, worship is all of our responsibility. You see, the ideal is that at church we can have profane worship. Worship that is dishonoring to the God who is holy and righteous and just. Can I tell you something? Our God does not deserve something that is of the world. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 22. Let's begin in verse number 23. Notice this. The Bible says this, Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 23. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," Ezekiel 22, verse 23. Now in verse 24, "Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priest," that's the preachers, "have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." Brethren, may I say to you that there is a difference today between the things of this world and the things of God. There is a difference today between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of our Christ. There is a difference. But when we bring in things to the church that are profane and they are dishonoring to the worship of a holy God, a righteous God, we have put no difference between the profane and the holy. Now look here, there's a difference between having a crowd and having a church. Did you know that? We can get a crowd, but I want to have a church. Why? Just so we can fill the pews? No, so we can worship God together. You see, brethren, what changed my life as a young person? Can I tell you what changed my life? Was when I was brought into the presence of a holy God. When I had an encounter with God. I'm not talking about something spooky. I'm not talking about God speaking to me in an audible voice or me seeing a vision. I'm talking about in my heart, coming into the presence of God, realizing that I'm a wicked sinner in need of a Savior, realizing that He is just and holy and righteous and true, that He makes no mistakes, that is my God. And when I come into that presence, I bow my head in my worship. Look here, today if we had some celebrity in church, we would probably stand. And by the way, when we have the Armed Forces Day, we have all the veterans stand. And they come up here and guess what we do? We stand. You know why? We show them reverence. We stand. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. When we're in the presence of God, we don't stand. We fall down in His presence. Because we are not worthy to be in His presence in our own strength. Brethren, why I can only come into the presence of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for me. And the righteousness of Christ has been applied to my account because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, today, when we worship God and we come into His presence, we recognize the difference between something profane and something holy. Look here, do you know that the Spirit of Christ within every child of God here this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Christ, indwells you today. And can I tell you what He wants to do? He wants to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? That is why when we look at something with our eyes that dishonors the Lord, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we hear something that is dishonoring to the Lord, it grieves the Holy Spirit because Christ in me seeks to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of this. We put difference between the holy and the profane. Brethren, we worship a holy God, and we are to make a difference between that which is holy and that which is profane in our lives. The word holy has to do with being separate. Not one of, but the one and only. You know something? As we worship God, we should come into His presence to honor Him. How do we come into His presence? That brings us to our third point. We notice, number one, we rest in the presence of God. We recognize the difference between holy and profane. But number three, I want you to notice this. We worship with reverence and godly fear. Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. How do you worship God? How do you worship Him? You know, sometimes we think worship is, you know, and by the way, I grew up in Tennessee and I've been to churches before where they called them holy rollers. You ever heard of them? Well, they roll down the aisle, literally roll down the aisle, hit the platform. And, you know, can I tell you what that all is? It's fleshly is all it is. It's look at me, glorify me, exalt me, see how spiritual I am. Look at me. That's not worship. You know what worship is? Look at Jesus Christ. Look at Him. Look at His glory. Look at His holiness, His righteousness. Look to Him. That's worship, brethren. We come to church, and if we just want people to see us, we're not here for the right reason. We are to come to worship our holy God. We are come to have an encounter with God. We are coming into His presence. And the way we come into His presence, we get rest. We recognize the difference between holy and profane. It's always funny to me. I remember when our first child was going to be born. I'm going to tell you something. We had every safety measure you can imagine in your life. Some of you parents understand. Man, you want everything. And I knew one pastor, I'm not kidding you, one pastor, he was so, their first child was being born. And everyone that came in to see the child, he made them wear gloves, mask, and everything. Because no germs get around my baby, you know. And just, hey, that's a precious child. Let's keep it safe and all of that. By the third or fourth child, we just let it roam outside, you know. We don't really care, you know. It's kind of like, you know when it's a first child parents. Because they drop the little pacifier. Oh, boy, they go wash it, sanitize it, pressure wash it and everything, you know. The third child, they just kind of wipe it off, stick it back in, you know. Let the dog lick it, stick it back in, you know. But I'm afraid sometimes in our worship of God, we have become so accustomed to the things of God that they're no longer reverent to us. Now look here. I'm not saying that our service should be dead and dry and cold. No, no. I believe it should have the breath of God upon it. I believe it should be alive with the Spirit of God. I believe it should be alive as we are worshiping God and praising God and we bow our heads to God. Sometimes we don't worship God because we have a stiff head to God, a stiff neck per se. We won't humble ourselves. We're only concerned about our will being done. We're only concerned about us being lifted up and glorified. That's not worship. Brethren, do you know that, in fact, we think of what God has given us. Do you know our spiritual gifts? All of us have spiritual gifts, but they are not for yourself. They are to edify one another. The spiritual gifts are for one another. It is to lift up Jesus. It is to draw us close to Him. Reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12, verse number 28, would you notice this verse here? The Bible says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace." Notice what it says here, Hebrews 12, 28. "Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And look in verse 29. "For our God is a consuming fire." The ideal is that our God is so powerful and mighty and holy and pure. That's our God. He is that consuming fire. We are to serve God. And how is the only way that's acceptable to serve God? With reverence and godly fear. Look here. When we come into His presence, we must bow our heads in reverence and in godly fear. The word reverence, can I tell you what it means? It simply means with downcast eyes and bowed head. That's what reverence means. We recognize in His presence. Can I tell you what we recognize in the presence of God? He is holy and we are unholy. Look here. If you think highly of yourself, you're not worshiping God. Now look, that doesn't mean we ought to walk around and say, "Boy, I'm some terrible person." No. And really, that's not humility. That's nothing but pride. It's masked by that. We want people to say, "Oh, no, no, you're really good," and "No, you're really great." We just want attention. But the truth is, when we have the right view, you can't have the right view of yourself until you have the right view of God. When you see that God is holy and you're unholy, but that God loves you and that God accepts you and that God has a plan for your life. Boy, that gives us joy and it gives us peace and it gives us purpose for life. But brethren, as we worship God in reverence and in godly fear. I think about Peter. Do you remember Peter on the shore of Galilee when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ and he saw Him in His power? He fell at the feet of Jesus and confessed to Jesus that he was unworthy to know Him and to love Him because Peter came into the presence of the Lord. We remember Isaiah the prophet, when Isaiah saw God lifted up on His throne, high, holy, and lifted up, and he saw the seraphims worshiping Him and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." You remember what Isaiah did? He said, "Woe is me." He said, I'm a man who is undone and I have unclean lips. And yet God said to him, you know, he said to the Lord, here am I, send me. You see, brethren, when we are brought into the presence of God with reverence and godly fear, it changes everything about us. You know what? I believe that what we need more than anything else in our church, in our marriages, in our land today, is not surface changes or treatment for the symptoms of the diseases that we have today. We need a revival of who God is. Psalm 95 verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. I'm going to tell you something. He is our God today. And what God has created us for is to worship the Lord. Number four, the last thing I want you to notice. Not only do we see when we come into His presence, we rest in His presence. We recognize what is profane and what is holy. And we notice here, thirdly, that we worship with reverence and godly fear. And lastly, as we worship in His presence, we are equipped to do God's work. Do you know that we think of Moses? Now, Exodus is about Moses. And Moses, here he is. He's just an ordinary man. Here he is, a man that really has not done anything really with his life. But God takes an ordinary man and does wonderful things with his life. Why? Because he's brought into the presence of the Lord. You know what? When we're in His presence, it equips us to do the work of God. Look here. You can have all the talent, all the ability, all the accolades, all the degrees, and you can say, well, I'm really ready to do the work of God. Nope. Sorry. Because the work of God requires something supernatural. It requires the work of God in and through your life. It requires worship. When you're brought into the presence of God, when you are worshiping God, it equips you, it enables you to be able to serve Him effectively. Moses could have never stood before Pharaoh unless he had stood before God in worship. Moses could have never led those millions of people out of Egyptian bondage unless first Moses had come face to face with God. You know something, let's go back, if you would please, to Exodus. And I want you to look, and let's go back to Exodus chapter number 3. And I want to show this to you. When Moses came into the presence of God, the very first time, you remember? Exodus 3, verse number 4. Moses saw that burning bush, and he thought, this is strange. I've never seen this before. I've never seen a bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. Our God's a consuming fire. So what's wrong here? What is this? And as Moses came to that, God spoke to him. And notice what it said in verse 4 of Exodus 3. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. And by the way, God waits for you to turn aside to him in worship. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Can I tell you, the God that is promoted in some places today is the God that would not require them to take off their shoes because it's holy ground. Here's what I'm saying to you. Brethren, there is a reverence. There is a godly fear with our God. It equips us to do the work of God when we are worshiping God. But if you want to think of God as, God just accepts you as you are, and hey, look here. God does accept us because of Jesus Christ, but God does not approve of our sin. God does not pass over our sin. He is a holy, He is a righteous God. And this morning, I want you to know something. That when Moses came into the presence of God, it equipped him to do the work of God. You and I are not equipped to do anything for God unless we are worshiping God. Look here, Dad, can I tell you? You are not equipped to be the dad you need to be unless you're worshiping God. Mom, you're not equipped to be the mom you need to be unless you're worshiping God. I cannot be the pastor that I am to be unless I am worshiping God for my own self. I'm humbling myself. I am bowing my head before God and worshiping Him. Now, I want to ask you this question in closing. And I want you to think about it just for a moment. When was the last time that you worshiped God privately? When was the last time you took time to be in the presence of God and you have the Word of God and you are reading and God is speaking to you and dealing with you and you are bowing the head and worshiping God? I'm talking about it brings you to confession. It brings you to see yourself that we are unworthy. We live in a day and time where it's self-exaltation, self-glory, self-esteem, all of that. Look, that's against the Bible because God brings us to the right view of ourselves as we see God for who He is. When's the last time you were alone with God and His Word was working in your heart, assuring you, comforting you, convicting you, and bringing you into confidence with the Lord? Look, we are to have no confidence in the flesh, but we are to have confidence in Jesus Christ. When's the last time you came to church and you worshiped God? I'm talking about through the song service, you're thinking about the Lord. You're thinking about Him. You're thinking of His shed blood for you. You're thinking of His love for you. Worship has to do with our thinking, a part of it, our thoughts that are worthy of God. John 4, the Bible says this, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." I believe the greatest thing that you and I need today is to come back to where we are worshiping God. Now look here, worshiping God doesn't make you feel terrible about yourself. It makes you thankful for who Jesus Christ is. Worshiping God does not bring you to a somber state. Oh, worshiping God gives you rest and joy and happiness because you're in His presence and it's what God has made you for. We are made to worship God. And when we do not worship Him, nothing functions in our life. Our marriages, our homes, our jobs, everything. Why? We were created in His image. We were created to worship God. And when we live in that state of worship, that's what life is really about. But we must bow our head. Can I say to you, please bow your head in worship. May God help us. Let's have a word of prayer, would you please?